Hello and welcome to another edition of Drinking with Comics, where we clap randomly all the time.
Fuck it, we'll do it live!
Alright, so, I'm Sean, this is Mike, and our special guest this evening is Ruben Girard, creator of Penny.
There it is, what's up?
We have a live studio audience, we have Joe Baxter.
Joe Dot Baxter.
I'll drink to that.
Science officer Aaron.
And let's pimp the audience again, and a live studio audience.
And more showing up as we speak. Booyah!
So, it's Christmas time, but, you know, it's also Star Wars time, and interesting little tidbit, Mike is going to talk about it, but
Star Wars because nobody here has seen it.
Most of us haven't seen it, so it's going to happen. I am going to see it, look forward to it.
Hashtag geek fail.
Maybe, I don't know. Twin Peaks is my Star Wars.
It's been 10 years, man. You can watch a Star Wars movie.
I would have been waiting in line for that, not for this. But I'm intrigued. I want to see. Anyway, so before we begin talking about Ruben's wonderful creation,
yes.
Penny.
Hey.
So we've got a bunch of beer tonight because I don't know about you, but Christmas to me just means getting hammered.
Loaded, yep.
And then falling down the chimney and making, you know, the kids scared. I don't have kids, but I'll just, you know, fall down somebody else's chimney and scare their children.
Hashtag so. It's a wonderful life.
Yes.
Yes.
So
drink to that.
I really wanted to pimp this brewery. They're local, they're Torrance, Monkish. So my friends Maddie and Kenta gave us this to try. I had another one of the Monkish beers.
This is called Feminist.
Well, the brewery is Monkish. So
I know, but yeah.
The beer is Feminist.
Let's talk about that.
So the other beer I had, the name is escaping me right now, and I had just looked it up. So
it was Misogynist, I think.
Yes, it was. Yeah. But it was fantastic. I've been hearing about Monkish for a while, and I had not had any, and I haven't been there. I need to remedy that.
It looks like a bottle of wine. Is it?
Their beer is good. When beer is this good.
Yeah.
They have a lot of selections there.
Yeah. Oh, like, so you were there. Okay. So
where is this place?
Aaron was there.
It's Torrance. Yeah, it's
like
Torrance.
In the industrial.
Is that an oxymoron? A feminist monk?
Maybe.
Could that be
Maybe.
Could be.
Oh,
well, look at that. Look at the.
I'm just going to go run in the bathroom and just down.
I'm just holding the comics up to get wet. But we have glasses.
Now
we have
another beer because Ruben specifically asked for a Hefeweizen.
Hefeweizen.
So
yeah. There it is.
Now we have the Hefeweizen.
Can you say what it's called? Is it
Haberdashery or Brewing? Hefeweizen Ale.
Oktoberfest never ends
with
this guy.
You're doing
right?
The whole show in that,
love
with
it.
That voice, right?
I like this beer. I approve of it. It has my seal of approval.
Oh, have you had it before?
No, but I approve it.
I had it about...
It has alcohol.
I'll approve anything that I can get drunk on.
There you go.
I had it about 6 months ago, and I really liked it. I don't drink Hefs when it gets colder, and I know everybody that's not in California is going to be like, you're kidding me, you're saying colder. It's cold here right now.
It is. It
was 54 last night, and I was freezing.
I take it off, but I have one on.
Taste this, because I'm curious.
I feel like I should smell it, like a glass of fine wine or something.
Well, you should. You should smell. Beer is not only made to be drank, it's made to be smelled as well.
It's
if you don't mind my cooties, may I?
No, of course.
Sure, man. Get in there.
I had brought a third glass, and it broke on the way here. Imagine that. So,
I have glasses somewhere. I don't know where, but like it?
Yeah, I do.
So, we're gonna draw from that sporadically.
A tiny bit of bitterness, but not too much.
Hey.
I mean, this is a guy who likes Guinness. You know? So... It depends on my mood. I mean, sometimes I like something like a Hefeweizen a little more pale, and sometimes I like the really thick stuff that you can eat.
Yeah. You know?
I agree. So we're going to leave that down there because otherwise it's going to be obscure.
And we'll get to this later, but I'm double fisting with some Brotherhood Steam. We'll talk about that one. Should we talk about it now? Or
let's talk about it now.
Let's talk about it now. So the reason I bought this was mainly for the artwork on the box, which is by the unsurpassable Alan Forbes.
I don't know who that
is. Alan Forbes does a lot of gig posters.
I know who it is.
He took a lot of my money this year because he did his company, Secret Servants, did the
Monkish.
Faith No More.
Thank you.
There it is.
Christmas in a bottle.
The company he runs, Secret Servants, did the Faith No More posters. So I gave him probably about $4,000 this year, I think, in buying stuff. I bought, anyway.
Wow.
So I figured we'll end the year with a six-pack of Brotherhood Steam. Chris Robinson and the Brotherhood, you know who those guys are?
I don't, but I do now.
Yeah, he was a singer of Black Crows.
Oh, okay.
Apparently likes beer, apparently likes light beer. And so, yeah, this is a cool box. It tastes good.
This is light beer?
I think so. Yeah, no, it's light. Light enough.
Okay, all right.
It's lighter than this.
Nice packaging, too.
So
it's lighter than, yeah, right? That's what she said.
So, okay, so we have our beverages.
Yeah, we're good.
Ruben, let's talk about Penny. So Ruben
already?
I met Ruben about a month ago. He did an event here at the comic club. And I walked in. I was in just a kind of a stupor. He had a really bad couple of days. And Rafael Navarro is a...
Thank you. Rafael Navarro. Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, today was probably not that bad. I just hugged you for no reason.
No, it's fine.
I'll
send it back in time. I came in and, like, everybody I interacted with made me feel great. Chris was here. You were here. June was here. Ivan was here. Ruben and Rafael Navarro, who's been on the show several times, introduced us. I started talking about Penny, and he gave me a copy of Penny Adventures in Coping. This is the
Did he give you this very
yes,
book?
Yes, this very book.
Cool.
And, I mean, it just, you made my day.
Oh, like, thank you.
I mean, everybody helped, but it really...
You never know, right? Like, you never know when you bring much-needed cheer to somebody.
But, so, okay, you'll see, like, he also travels with this wonderful backdrop.
Lots of props.
This is actually fairly new. And so
it's fantastic.
I thank you for the opportunity for me to exploit my
Yeah, please,
my
so tell us
here.
About, so talk about Penny.
Where can I start? This character's been around for quite a while, but she's gone through a lot of changes. The core of her character's pretty much stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
At the time this book came out, she was predominantly a character that was based on a composite of women that I've known and women that I've admired. I've admired a lot of comedians like Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett, and silent film actress Clara Bow. And then my very own mother, who's passed away several years ago, was an influence. And some girlfriends I will not mention too much of. But just a little bit of each element in a stew became Penny. And so I also, you know, you always tap into the things that you're drawn to. And I was drawn to, I'm a big old film fan and literature. If you've ever read The Secret Life of Walter Mitty or seen the movie, predominantly the Danny Kaye version, Walter Mitty is this big-time dreamer. And he was working in the movie version anyways, he was working for pulp magazines, which is in some ways the predecessor to comic books.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I said, well, there's a good launching pad, because I wanted to do slice of life stuff, but I also wanted to go all out into the fantasy element. So I was able, in doing that, I was able to create situations where it could be slice of life, everyday stuff, and then... more comic book oriented stuff. So I'm kind of having my cake and eating it too.
Yeah, right.
Because I like both comic strips and comic books.
And yoga.
And yoga too.
Do you do yoga?
A lot of yoga.
I actually do yoga. Do you want to see some yoga?
Yeah, I'd love to see
Can
some
you
yoga.
Can you do the pigeon? Like she's constantly trying
hold
to
on.
Do
this. This is your most right amazing here. Yoga trick.
And this is another one right here.
That's the pigeon, right?
Not the pigeon.
Well, the pigeon involves like legs as well. But
she
keeps trying to do the pigeon, and she keeps falling on her face.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Part of her humanity is that she fails a lot at what she attempts, like most of us, lot of us, anyways. That is the factor I always want to key into, because if you make somebody too perfect, you know, and they don't have, there's nothing you can relate to them about. You see,
this. Baby's got budget.
Baby's got budget.
That's good stuff.
Well, there you go. You just tapped into another factor.
That's reality, man.
Financially, all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Like a lot of us as well.
But she makes it work. She thrifts and she.
Well,
like,
we all do, right?
Yeah.
Anybody for the 99-cent store?
Yay!
You were just talking about that shit today, dude. Guardians of the Galaxy wrapping paper at the 99-cent store.
There you go.
Much better than that stuff I paid $5
for. What you find there, right? And that's. She's into thrift stores. She's into. Mm-hmm. She's kind of retro vibe. She likes retro clothing. Between the time the book came out and the new direction, she was just Penny before. Now she's Penny Strikes, and I thought,
oh, that's her last name.
That's her last pen name. So her pseudonym, and I know what her actual name is. In my mind, I've created a whole backstory that is yet to be revealed. In a future graphic novel.
Is it Penny Saved or Penny Earned?
It's both, actually.
Really?
Depending on the situation.
Spoiler alert.
But, so I wanted, I thought, Penny didn't say enough to, I said, why am I not attracting more people, you know, without having to explain it? So sometimes there's a lot to be said to what you put into a title, The Walking Dead. That kind of explains a lot, right?
Right, mm-hmm. You know what it is.
You know what it is. So Superman, you know, you kind of know, he's a guy that's pretty super. He does super things.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, Penny's kind of docile, kind of, you know, a lot of people, Penny's the smallest form of denomination, I guess, hey, Penny.
They're talking about getting rid of pennies.
They're talking about getting rid of pennies. So I thought, okay, something that small and something that disregarded and something that strikes, that still has something to say and will say it and will be strong about it. She's not one to be, passed by and mm-hmm. disregarded, not like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, but in a in a way that says if her boss tells her to work late, she's going to have some words about it. The thing is that she does her job really good, so they keep her on. So she's able to say a lot of things in her job situation that most people would probably wish they could say.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of have her speak out,
for the rest of us.
Talks for
the
rest of us, yeah.
I dig that.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
She's, you know, if she gets booted out of her job, she'll just get another low-paying job for the time being until she makes it as a fantasy writer, writing fantasy stuff.
So she does it on the side. Oh,
wow. Graphic novels.
Like us.
Like us.
Rebel Without a Raise, that's the first chapter. So wait, so does she write these stories on the side then? She doesn't just
go
live these dreams.
Her daydreams are kind of like a prelude to her actual writing material.
Oh, cool.
So, and she involves her friends, and her friends become characters. People in her life have different lives in her stories.
Mm-hmm.
So she uses them as role models, as templates.
Do you have a day job, can I ask?
My day job for the last 26 years has been drawing caricatures and portraits at all sorts of events.
Like you did that night here.
That night I was here, right.
So you have like an enjoyable day job.
Most of the time. Sometimes you get real jerks and you got to put up with them, you know.
Yeah.
But
for 20 minutes and then they're gone.
That doesn't look like me, you know.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, you ugly, dude. I'm sorry.
So the line I always use is an artist's interpretation, you know.
What do you do, like, when you get, like, I'm going to be really shallow, but, like, a really ugly broad comes up?
That is shallow.
And you got to do a caricature.
That's pretty shallow.
What do you do? Like, do you just focus on the beauty?
You look out there.
I love the fact that was a really ugly broad.
Mike, no, but it's all in your state of mind, okay?
So beer goggles.
I've drawn people. Okay, I'm going to tell the classic story. And my business partner, Max, is in the audience. He may be able to supply the punchline here. I started out a long time ago when I needed some money. I started out at Venice Beach.
Me too.
And I didn't know you did.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I wasn't hustling my body like you.
Yeah.
I was just doing drawings.
I always heard those rumors about you, Mike, and I never wanted to believe them.
So I set up a little display and started getting people to sit down, and I would charge $5 or whatever. And then I got my partner, Max, to come along and say, hey, you want to make some money doing this? It's looking pretty good. People were, you know, in Venice Beach at that time, there was a big, I guess it is still to this day, a big tourist trade. So there's always people there.
Yeah.
And, you know, every once in a while you get somebody to sit down. And if somebody's getting drawn, other people see you, and then other people sit down, and so on and so forth. One time I had this lady, getting back to what you were talking about, who looked like...
Unfortunate.
Unfortunate, 20 miles of bad road, leather handbag on legs, whatever you want to call it.
As my friend Sonny once said, she fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way.
Yes, and she was quite old. I think she was from the East Coast. Because she talked like this here.
You sure it wasn't Burgess Meredith?
No, it wasn't Burgess.
He could be mistaken for an ugly woman.
Are you getting this? You talk like this here. I want you to draw my picture.
I said, okay, sit down. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do with this lady?
Yeah.
You should have put an outfit on.
I don't know how to make
up.
Her look good.
Right.
So, but I ironed out the wrinkles on my piece of paper, and I try to focus on her. And this is to answer your question. You try to focus on as many good aspects as you see as possible. So I was doing it, and Max was sitting next to me. And
you remember this, Max?
He remembers it. Can you swing the camera to Max?
He's looking down.
And I turn and I said, God, I did a pretty good job. It still looks like her, but it looks like a younger version of her, much younger. And I showed it to her, and she just stared at it. She goes, "That's not me. That's a man. You drew me as a man."
I knew there was a story there.
And Max said,
"You mean you're not a man?"
Oh!
So that's that story.
And that's why you always bring Max with you to these gigs.
And no tip either.
Did you even get paid for the artwork?
I don't remember that part of it. But we got to—you know—the story.
It's a great
is
story.
Priceless.
Oh yeah, you know, you so, totally you have know, that to live with.
I tell it at virtually every interview. That
it's a good story.
Yeah. It's
That's
good awesome. Stuff.
So no, you know, I've drawn burn victims before, and you try to look at the best possible side. You might put them in a little bit of a shadow, or you try to find the best part about them. You know, you try to highlight that. Caricature artists are typically thought of as people that ridicule people. So Max and I decided to switch things around.
That's awesome.
And say, let's be positive about it and let's show their good side. That was a big revelation to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Oh, you drew me nice. You took off some wrinkles. I said, hey, why not make people feel good for a change?
You gave me muscles in my picture.
I like, gave you muscles, gave which muscles. You'll never have in real life. But.
No, I mean, not at this point, no.
But, like you know... Everybody else does that, and we could do that, and sometimes people ask us to do that, and we go to town. Yeah, we'll draw the gigantic nose and the gigantic chin and the big ears if that's what they want.
Right.
But we find out that most people do not want
well,
that.
Well, it's awesome that
you made my
that's
penis smaller,
default.
Too, which is something I've always wished somebody would do, you know,
and
in character art.
And it cost you a lot less, didn't it?
It did. Right.
And I'm still waiting for...
A tip? Yeah. Like, careful, we just talked about my penis. Let's not go about
I think Sean has a question.
So it's cool that is your
how many
like,
did
default.
You have before here?
It's cool that's your default because it is always easier to talk down. You know, I mean, it was like one of the things originally with this show that I really wanted to do was like it's the internet is awash with people
punch
that
down,
talk
punch up.
Yeah, people just talk shit and they're haters or whatever, and we talk some shit.
Only about Coldplay though,
and you know
they deserve it,
but.
And Neil Gaiman.
And Frank Miller as of last
Donald
week.
Donald Trump?
Oh, fuck Donald Trump. I mean, that's a given, man.
Let's not go there.
Why not?
Let's not go, because it's a topic I don't want.
If you're Lenny Bruce, you're saying you wouldn't want to do that because it's actually giving him a compliment.
Exactly. I just don't want to. Hashtag. Okay. But he does
it
so.
Is,
but go ahead.
It is easier to talk down than to talk up. So it's cool that's, you know, default. And it doesn't surprise me that it surprised people that you did caricatures of. Like, oh, you drew me this way or that way. Because it's a newer experience. Like, I think most things in life, when you subject yourself to somebody else's, you know, interpretation, you get kind of bitch
negativity.
Slapped. Yeah, or like, there's, you know, negativity is just, it's easier. It's everywhere.
It's all around us. It's engulfing us. It's absorbing us. It is encroaching on us.
That's the dark side.
And if everything is dark, then nothing is dark.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
DC.
There you go. You got to have the other side to show the balance.
Play this in a loop
because
after
it's
Superman.
It's too much of one thing.
You're punching down. You're punching down.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm like a motivational speaker.
No, but you're right. No, there's darkness. There's light.
You got to see both sides to see both sides, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. And they accentuate one another too. I mean, I'm down for a little darkness and I'm down for a little light. You know,
of course,
balance, right?
Yeah.
But just don't give me Coldplay for Christmas, dude. That's all I ask. All
right.
So, well. So, okay, so how long have you been doing Penny? And, do you have it, is it serialized in any one location, or has it been?
I've had her in different forms in a couple of local newspapers.
Okay.
I was actually, because of my submissions to when the syndicates were still thriving, the last part of it anyways, I... submitted to King Features, and they called me in. I thought, oh, this is it. They're calling me in for her. But actually, they liked my artwork, and they wanted me to do Blondie.
Oh, wow. Did
really?
You?
I prepared some strip. Actually, when they called me in, it was August 2001.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in September 2001?
Yeah.
Okay.
9/11, right?
Wow.
The story that I heard anyways, and this is not sorry.
Did Blondie die in 9/11?
I don't think so. Some people might have thought she died way before that, but that's
another story. Yeah, I didn't know she was around. But
no, she's still around, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. No, what happened was, there's no sour grapes here because I'm actually glad I didn't get the gig.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
I want to do my own thing. I have to do my own thing. I'm not happy. I like visiting, doing other people's stuff.
Right, but you're...
But I want to do my own thing. I don't mind if I got a gig doing Superman or Batman or whatever. That'd be cool, but I wouldn't want to stay there. Right. You know, I want to...
You don't want to play covers. You want to do your own songs.
I want to do my own songs. So that's most independence. You know, most independent comic creators, that's what they want to do.
Right.
So what happened was I got called in. Jay Kennedy, the editor of King Features, who's no longer alive, he called me in. And he said, "We like your style. They like the fact that I'm pretty good with anatomy, I guess." And because Blondie was one of those strips that was head to toe anatomy. And one of the things I didn't care for Blondie was very old school proscenium stage. They always show the full body. They never cut to a close-up. They never change their angles. They never go anywhere else but proscenium straight on stage. And I said, okay, I mean, it's a good-paying job. I'm going to shoot for it. So I prepared samples and stuff. I found out that the guy, the artist at that time who was leaving it, was considering coffee futures. That's what I was told.
What's that mean?
I guess he was invest money into like Starbucks or something, I guess. So he was on his way out, and they were looking for a replacement. So, and they were in New York. I went to New York, and a month later, there goes the towers. You know, and I go, oh, I wonder if this affects this. You know, of course, before that, I didn't think anything. The first thing I thought about was all the terrible. It wasn't my first thing.
No, of course. Right.
We know.
I should have. Max is laughing because...
You're watching the chaos.
The first thing you thought about was that ugly woman on Venice Boulevard.
My mom called me.
That doesn't look like me.
My mom called me. My dear deceased mother called me at that time, and she says, they dropped the bomb on New York. And I go, what? And you see, that's what it looked like.
That's how I found out about 9/11. My mom called me. She's like, you okay?
Yeah.
I'm in California, Mom. Yeah.
And it looked, atomic bomb, okay, radiation to follow. I mean, the worst possible things went through my mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, maybe 2 weeks later, oh, yeah, the Blondie thing. Okay, where everybody, you know, okay, we have to go get on with our lives. And I found out that the guy decided to stay on the strip.
Oh, wow.
I think...
His coffee shop must have been in the Twin Towers.
I think what...
Fucking asshole. Al-Qaeda, man. Fucking Al-Qaeda. Fucking ruined your blotting gig.
They did. Damn you, I'm going after you next.
Got to take it all the way up to ISIS now.
Got to do that.
ISIS
but
cubes.
He stayed on. So I'll let you assume what you want.
I think we need to make a coffee with ISIS cubes in it. And we have, like, little terrorists in there that you just drink up.
Can I just say that I love Eric, like, Winter so much? What, he's just, like, during the caricature talk, he's like, I need to draw myself another beer.
There you go.
So, okay, one of the things about comic strips, we were talking before the show, one of the things about comic strips
Don's
that
like
always interested me is it's that kind of, like, as a storyteller or a story consumer, you know, you go from something that is long and, like, involved, and then, like, a graphic novel, and then you break it down to a single issue, and then you break it down to, like, three panels. So comic strips have always fascinated me because the best ones take an idea and get it across very quickly. And it's like, you know, if you've ever edited your own work, which I'm sure anybody that has written has, like, you're cutting stuff, you know, kill your darlings, blah, blah, blah. So how do you start... you know, you were talking before about the comedian thing. So, like, talk a little bit about that. Like, what's your process for creating a strip?
If you've had some experience doing comedy, humor in any form, there is a traditional setup, delivery, punchline. And traditionally, a lot of comic strips going way, way back, that's how they did their comics. So in a three panel, it's it's pretty easy. The setup is the first panel. The delivery is the second panel. The punchline is the third panel. If you have a two-panel, they kind of squeeze the setup and the delivery in the first panel and the punchline in the second panel. In the one panel, which is what Penny Strikes is now, is you have to do it all in one visual image. So what I try to do, because I'm a big fan of silent films and mime, is use the visual to do the setup and the delivery, and the
punchline is the
punchline is the caption. That's so you find ways to leading the eye to the caption,
okay.
And whatever they don't know exactly where it's gonna. If you're doing your job right, they don't know exactly where it's gonna go till they get to the caption.
That's fascinating. I've always been fascinated with the way comics work, even though, as I was telling you beforehand, like Joe Dot Baxter and several other people in my life have told me, read Scott McCloud's like
excellent stuff.
Understanding comics.
And I've always been afraid, the same way I'm afraid to read that This Is Your Brain on Music, even though I have it on my shelf. I don't know that I want to take the mystique out of what happens.
How the sausage is made.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, comics to me, like one of the things about comics, a lot of times I don't notice the art. Like, this guy and Raphael and other people have kind of gotten me more into paying attention to art, where the art has always kind of delivered. Like, John walks in, picks up the bottle, and sits down. The art almost becomes narrative in my, or stage direction in my head. So a lot of times I've read books where I've never paid attention to the art, and I go back, I'm like, this is amazing. You know, I mean, there's, like, Bernie Wrightson, you're immediately, like, looking at it. But other stuff is more.
If you're
going
to make a correlation from comic strips to comic books, you don't have the luxury of several pages to tell your story. You have to be concise.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to the point. And sometimes it's like a lyric in a song. The best lyrics say so much with one phrase.
Right.
You know? So that's what you're at that point where you got to whittle it down to its essence.
Yes.
You know, remember if you go back to the DC, now I'm going to make correlation to comic books.
Okay.
If you go back to the 50s and 60s DC comic books, you had the characters saying exactly what they were doing while they were doing.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm going to go fly down.
You kind of narrated.
They're narrating themselves.
Yeah. To a degree, that's even into the 80s with like Marvel and like Wolverine, I'm the best there is at what I do. Like every issue. Like, okay, come
if
on.
The visual and the verbal are doing the same thing.
What's the point?
What's the point? The verbal should be telling you something else.
Yeah.
And the visual should be telling
you. Well, we're getting better about
together.
That.
And you get into that synergy. And like we've talked about this before with like David Lapham is such a great example with Stray Bullets.
You guys
where
are drunk.
He writes it and he draws it. And it's so optimized. Like he doesn't do that. And he was doing that in the early 90s with Stray Bullets where you still had thought bubbles, which kind of went by the wayside as Bendis kind of, you know, came in and took over and his style proliferated. But there is something to be said for, like, the moment when comic book creators realize, like, we don't need to have them saying that because they're doing it.
They're doing it, right.
Right. Well, you know, in the 70s, the cartoons back in the day, and radio shows, too, actually, radio shows is where it came from because you couldn't see it.
That's interesting.
Superman's like, I must fly down there and save Lois
so
from the impending doom of that helicopter.
They were basically just using that and translating into a comic.
And
I never thought
of
that.
What a lot of screenwriters don't recognize is like, okay, so nobody wanted your screenplay, so you're going to turn it into a comic. You don't need to, like, things that work in film don't work in comics.
Right.
And vice versa, you know? So, yeah, so I don't know where I was going with that, but
it's
I guess I'm drunk,
it's
too.
It's fascinating, and from the first time where I, like, very seriously, I wrote a couple screenplays, nothing's ever, you know, I sold my first screenplay in 2007.
To who?
Right before the economy tanked, and it'll never
to
be
to somebody
made.
In the Twin Towers?
Yes, in 2007.
There's always one.
But they were from the past, so they died when they went back. They're like, thanks, boom, dead.
Nice.
But,
well played.
You know, the thing is, like, when you start seriously working on screenplays, especially, like, most of what I've always written prose, right? So you get rid of this shit. So when you start seriously working on it, and I had a mentor, like, a couple of years ago, I worked on something seriously. It didn't end up getting made, but, like, even the screenplay. Thank
you. I'm always left out of these moments.
Hug him. Everybody at home was waiting for that. Season finale. Thank you. Good night. Thank you, and we're sorry. Alicia Grosso gave us that as our
what?
Thank you and we're sorry.
Oh, really?
Anyway, go ahead. But you know, you get into this thing where you're editing yourself and you're constantly trimming, and it's a beautiful thing, and it becomes almost addictive in a way. At first, it's like, oh, you know, I don't know how to
constantly trim.
What? Say again?
Addictive to constantly trim.
Yes.
Like that, or
no? That was bizarre.
We have a visitor from another show.
From the alternate Pennyverse.
Yeah. It's a valid question. Anyway, go ahead.
That wasn't a question, but anyway.
It was a comment. Okay, let's, I don't know anything. Did we talk about everything, Penny? Anything we missed?
Well, I think what we missed maybe is perhaps the direction she's now going.
The paybacks, right?
The paybacks are a combination of her three alter egos, and actually there's more to follow.
So I've seen
a rock band
I've
too,
seen
right?
Pentia.
Yes, actually her rock band was the Paybacks, kind of a retro rockabilly thing, and then they became the Paybacks superhero group.
Cool.
Oh.
So they're fighting Sheena. Corporate crime.
Oh, wow. Da-da-dun. That Donald Trump shit.
That Donald Trump shit, that's right.
Yep.
And that's, by the way, if anybody wonders who that character is, he could put a blonde wig on him. He could look a lot like a mechanical Donald Trump right there.
Nice.
You know, have you ever
heard... He's the corporate giant, by the way. Gold edition.
That's his name?
That's his name, the corporate giant.
Have you ever heard about the whole phenomenon where, like, Alan Moore is the most famous, but other comic authors have talked about this, where Alan Moore supposedly, at some point, was sitting in a pub, and a guy walked in ordered a pint next to him, and he looked at him, and it was... He's like, it was John Constantine. It was my creation. So he talks about this. Grant Morrison talks about this. Other creators have talked about this, where they create some microcosm, macrocosm thing, where they create something and then it like happens. Or, you know, Morrison was famous for this in The Invisibles, where he did all this stuff to his alter ego, King Mob, and it would affect him. So he gave him a flesh-eating bacteria and he got a flesh-eating blah, blah, blah. So then he's like, I decided to start... He was going to have sex with this hot chick, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
Let's start.
I like the blah, blah, blah.
But so you should probably have them kill Golden Edition, so that maybe, you know, somebody will shoot Trump in the face. I'm just saying. I mean,
shoot Trump in the face. You can't say that.
I think, well, I just did.
We don't know what's going to happen by the time the graphic novel comes out. Yeah, you know?
No.
This is a.
No. I'm just saying.
You
could hashtag
my buddy
shoot
Max
Trump in the face.
Is I mean, very good at.
I think you'll find other people agree. A lot of other people. I don't think I'm in like the minority
go ahead.
Here.
Go.
My buddy Max. Is
and
very
if
good
I was
on...
in the minority, he wouldn't pay attention to me anyway.
Sorry. My buddy Max, he does a strip called Babylon Brothers, and it's very
this guy
topical.
Here?
That guy over there.
No, his other buddy Max.
We got to do an insert
in the post.
Well, I didn't know
world.
He did a strip. I love Max's art. I've seen Max's art. It's amazing.
And
I know
he's
strip.
On top of all the current issues that are happening. I have a little different perspective on that than he does, I think, is because I think there's always going to be a Donald Trump.
Yeah,
there's always going to be people like that. When it comes to politics and the humor on politics, I'm more of a, if anybody remembers Will Rogers, I have a Will Rogers take.
The cowboy?
The cowboy slash storyteller.
No,
the
delicatessen tycoon from Delaware.
Read your history here.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear your take.
Anyways, and also Rod Serling, you know.
Who makes an appearance in Penny.
If you attack the social condition which produces people like Donald Trump.
Sean?
Yes.
Eric wants to know why you're dressed like Captain Kirk.
Well, it's the collar.
I was wondering that too.
So now we're going to have to get into spoiler territory. Because,
explain yourself.
You know, Chris Pine left Star Trek.
Did he?
And so they saw this and they were like, hey.
So you're going to be the new Captain Kirk?
I'm actually alternate. What is the Bizarro Kirk? There you go.
Oh, Mirror.
Whatever.
Mirror, are you the Kirk. Evil dark side Kirk?
I'm not a Star Trek.
You got to be more evil.
I can be evil. Yeah. I can't be evil. So,
where were we?
That's the question. Where were we?
Let's talk about some comics. What do you got?
I got some comics.
I know. You got a store of comics.
Chris Pirate Girl?
Pirate Girl?
Cursed Pirate Girl. The
as
number
opposed
one
to the one, the golden spoon in her mouth.
I can't remember her first name, but she's looking for her dad. She's a pirate girl looking for her mythical pirate father. which, you know, is like The Force Awakens.
It's like Moody Blues lyrics here.
No, but maybe. The artwork is exquisite.
Yeah, it is.
Look at that artwork. I'm gonna throw this out in the crowd. You guys can look, pass it around and look at it. But you people at home, on your laptops.
It looks somewhat like an old Beatrix Potter storybook type of
look at that
approach.
Look at that parrot, dude. Look at the expressions, the line work. It's amazing.
Very intricate line work, I see.
And I like the paper choice. Do you feel that? Here,
it's
close
nice
your paper. Eyes and run your hands over the paper.
Oh, I love that. While editing the previous episode.
Yeah, it's good.
Joe, Aaron, and I commented on the fact that you have a thing with the physicality of comics.
Because I do.
Every time you bring a comic out, you're like, feel this comic.
Feel this.
In fact,
that's
two
the most important thing about a comic.
I think you brought Rupert up to actually, you're like, feel this comic.
Rupert, come here.
Oh,
you're the official feel guy, dude. Close your eyes. Unzip that jacket all the way.
This is going to get weird, isn't
okay,
it?
He's going to get your number after
feel
the show.
It.
I like your shirt.
Put your beard on it. Hold on. Put your beard on it. Give it the beard test. And rub it on your cheeks. What do you think of that?
Face, neck, and chest.
No, what do you think of that?
It's a good stock quality.
Take it back over there and pass it around.
He's this is creepier than anything ever. Please let me sit down now.
Now it's even better with the Oils of Rupert on it. No, but it's a great book.
Another good band name, by the way, Oils of Rupert.
Mike, do you know what a relief sculpture is?
I think so.
A relief sculpture is like
it's
you have
not
a flat
the same thing as a happy ending.
Yeah,
I'm just letting you know.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I know it does.
A relief sculpture is, if you've ever seen it, it would be like on a flat surface, but it's raised.
Oh yeah, okay.
To some degree,
uh-huh.
It's not completely in the round, but
right.
It's raised. What about a comic book like that that you can feel the story?
Like on every page?
On every page. What do you think of that concept?
Oh, like Pat the Bunny? The children's
book? Oh, yeah. That would be tough.
You're a touchy-feely guy.
I'm a touchy-feely guy. It would be expensive to make. I always think about, because I'm also a publisher, so I always think about, how much would that cost me to do to put some hair in there?
But you've seen stuff that is slightly raised.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's punched out.
Yeah, I'm slightly raised every morning.
Seriously,
we planned that gag, by the way.
Oh my god.
Every morning there's a slight tent in my bed.
Oh my god.
You know?
No, I don't know. I'm glad I don't.
Take your word for it. Can
speaking of slightly raised, jacked.
Oh, you just totally cocked me.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Now you're jacked, so go ahead.
Jacked is about a middle-aged man who finds this drug that makes him a superhero, pretty much.
It's like Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins, a little like Bruce Willis.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Jack looked like he's been to too many beer and comic sessions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, drinking with comic sessions?
Drinking with comic
sessions.
Yeah,
well, he's middle-aged, so that's what we do when we're in our middle-aged.
Knows how to have a good time.
I like your positivity.
Yeah.
Like, you see a guy like that, he knows how to have a good time. Oh, you're such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Like who?
Leo.
Oh, Dad Bod?
Dad Bod.
Speaking of dad bod, yeah, but it's a fun book. He finds some vitamins that you take and ate.
Is it like kind of a slice of life American Splendor sort of thing?
A little. Well, what was that movie where Michael Douglas? No, Michael Douglas. What was it?
Falling Down.
Falling Down means fucking Superman.
Falling Down's terrible. It's a terrible movie.
It is. It's well it's, now, but
I remembered seeing it.
The concept is good.
When it came out, I loved it, and I'll never forget. For years, I remembered it fondly, and I maybe 6-7 years ago, I had some friends that had never seen it, and I was like, "Oh, you're in for a treat." I rented it, put it on, and it starts, and I see Joel Schumacher directed by, and I was like, "Oh no!" And it was really
bad. He's made some good movies.
There's some
Lost
moments.
Boys,
Flatliners.
Maybe.
How did I get into this?
Anyway. But Falling Down is like white man fantasy bullshit. And this might be to an extent. Hashtag white man fantasy bullshit. I have one more comic to plug because we got to wrap up soon. But Weird World from Marvel Comics.
Which went, and I loved it, but it went 5 issues and they felt the need to make a number one again.
Well, no. So it was going to go only 5 issues and it was so awesome that it was going to end. They were like,
no, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Come on, Sean, we're journalists. We have to know these things. It was part of Secret Wars. Secret Wars was finite. It was going to end. And this was so awesome. And I'm glad that Mike Del Mundo...
Kept doing it. Yeah,
good. He's the artist. So amazing. Look at this art. Oh, my God. Look at this. Boom.
The The other volume's great.
It's like your brain exploding.
Well, here,
wow, that's pretty cool.
It's great.
He talked about this a couple episodes ago when it started, and the thing that sold me...
You got a plug for Agent Carter.
I'm sorry, Agent Carter.
The thing that sold me is Kristar, the Crystal Warrior.
Yeah.
I didn't like Secret Wars. I didn't really read it, but like the stuff that I did read, I didn't like it, and whatever, but... The one thing I liked about it is they seemed, Marvel was like, let's dig up the weirdest shit.
Some wacky shit, yeah.
You know, like Black Knight has a book now.
Yeah.
Which is another weird, it takes place in a weird world. I mean, they're really
the old Black Knight they've updated? Is that what
they're doing? Yeah,
they're,
yeah.
They're pulling from book. Really wow.
Look at that
weird
car.
Corners.
Look at that car. It's like an Ant-Man car or something. Anyway.
Oh. I got to do a spoiler.
Do it.
We never do spoilers. This, I asked Joe and Aaron before the show if this was cool.
It's
and
totally fair game.
So I got a tip right before the show that apparently that a action figure was released that's a huge spoiler for Civil War, right?
I don't
and
know.
It's Paul
you
Rudd.
You guys know this?
Paul Rudd Giant Man.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, so.
I thought they were going to hold out and maybe do that in the second or third Ant-Man movie.
So he's going to grow up?
No, he's gonna, yeah.
Cool, that's cool.
I thought it was Paul Rudd and Clueless.
Is that what they call the figure?
How many
Paul
people...
Rudd Giant Man? Are you joking? Or are you
no, it's a Civil War figure that's Giant Man, so it's...
Is it Paul Rudd?
I guess. It was a cryptic text.
You knew this? Everybody knew this already?
It was.
Come on, journalist.
How many people think Ant-Man is probably the most powerful character in the Marvel Universe? If he could go to the quantum realm and go smaller than anything, can't he get into anything and disrupt anything?
He could go into somebody and just get bigger.
Yeah.
That's what Bill Cosby does.
He was waiting for that one.
Right?
Now let me give you a hug.
Thank you. Finally, a bad. Bill Cosby joke that went right.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
What a heartbreak he was. Grew up on his albums. God, that hurts.
That hurts?
That hurts, man. That hurts. That too.
Well, you know, at least he's charming.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap it in a minute. I haven't read it. I just want to say Southern Cross 6 just came out. Thank fucking God.
Trees did too, apparently.
Yeah, Trees did too. If you're not getting Warren Ellis's...
Symmetry, that came
fan
out.
Fan letter, you should.
That's a good book. I meant to review it.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Hawkins. Hashtag Matt Hawkins.
Give us the 30-second review.
It's great. It's Logan's Run. It's the utopian society. And
why it's not so
why
great.
Why you don't want to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Check it out.
I've been really interested in that, actually.
Let's not forget, you are the feature presentation,
Mike.
Oh, wow,
can I wear that?
Yeah, I think you should. You should.
And guys, where can people find Penny Strikes?
Penny Strike is on Facebook, and I have a website too, but more people follow her on Facebook than any place else. And shortly there will be a store, and I'm going to do a plug here, where you can also buy stuff like this.
I'm going to wear this tonight, dude.
And besides the books, you're going to wear that tonight?
Why don't you put it on right now? Oh, why did I? Wow, really? Really? I felt the need to encourage him to take his shirt off. As if we haven't been doing this for two years.
Eric? Do this. Eric's still watching.
Cut to commercial.
Right. Will you still be able to sell this?
No.
I don't know. It might be contaminated
actually,
after this.
You autograph that shit, it'll probably go for 50.
Right, here we go. I'm just going to model this shirt for y'all. Oh my God, it's going to be tight. It's not going to fit. All right. That's like an OJ glove.
They never stopped Bill Cosby, right? Come on.
It never stopped. No, it didn't stop OJ. It did stop Bill Cosby.
I always knew you shopped in the women's section, Mike.
I try.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
That's okay. So,
dude, you asked me to do
it. I know.
It.
I can't believe I did
you fucking
that.
Told me to do it, Captain Kirk.
Wow. I wish we had a letter.
This is now on the red shirt page of the evening.
Wow. Ah. Monkish, still. Thank you.
And let's hear it for Hopsburg.
Wait, Death no, say Meisen. There we go.
Let's get it up for Max.
Hey.
Hey, it's Sean and Mike and everybody else here at Drinking with Comics. We just want to ask you guys if you dig the show or if you hate the show, if you hate something, you want to fuel that hate. Right? You really want to fuel it, right?
Given
your
hatred.
Here's what you want to do. You want to subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Because if you like us, you'll be like, these guys are awesome. There's always stuff. I like them even more. If you hate us, you'll be like, I just need to keep subscribing. Well, you only subscribe once, actually. But
if you really hate us, call us at 424-271-5610. Or write that number on bathroom walls.
Let us know. Let us know. If you're like, I want to take you guys to see Alice Cooper, all expenses paid, we're down. If you, you know, if you want to.
Or just like, you know, I hear Sean gives good blowjobs. Call 424-271-5610.
You know what? Yes, leave it in the men's room. It's fine.
Yeah, just put it in the men's room.
And then you're also going to want to follow us on Tinder. You're going to follow us on Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, Twitter. I mean, that's a big one, right?
Twitter.
Jesse Eisenberg wants you to follow us on his website. Clearly. And that's it.
MySpace. Are we on MySpace?
Nope. No. No one is. Read comics, drink beer, and subscribe, follow us. You'll have a good time.